Well, Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence already with us this evening. But we would pray that as we come now to the living Word of God, that you would again, Lord, just help us to hear the voice, that voice that we've been singing about, that we'd hear the voice of Jesus speaking to our lives. Whatever our situation might be, that you might come, that you might speak, that we may quieten our souls before you just now, that we may try and blot out all those distracting thoughts, that our ears would be pinned back, that we would hear what you would have to say to us. So, Lord, would you help me this evening? Would you give me, Lord, all the help that's needed to bring the Word of God? And would you help those who listen to take that Word to their hearts? We look to you as ever in need. We look to you as ever with that expectation, praying it for Christ's sake alone. Amen. I wonder, do you enjoy tests? For young people, well, that could be educational tests. And every so often in school, those tests are carried out to see how well you're progressing, or indeed otherwise. I don't think too many of us particularly enjoyed the educational tests. The driving test, of course, is another thing that comes along in life's journey. And what a relief when that test is passed. And we think, well, thankfully, I'll never have to do that again. And I don't think too many really enjoy sitting their driving test. And I doubt there would be too many takers who would want to resit it again. And then there are the dreaded health tests. And again, in the journey of life, we may have to go through such tests. And the truth is that there are few, if any, who look forward to those. And in the passage that's before us this evening, we find a woman of great faith. But before that wonderful title is given to her, I would suggest she's subjected to a threefold test. And we want to examine that carefully this evening. To set this passage in context, we read in verse 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. You'll know if you've been with us on Sunday nights that up until this time, Jesus had carried out most of his ministry in the region of Galilee. But now he wanted to withdraw from that area. He wanted to get away from all the frenzy of Galilee. And he was traveling about 30 miles northwest into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Galilee was a Jewish area, whereas Tyre and Sidon was a Gentile area, and so it was certain that he would come into contact with those whom the Pharisees had deemed as being unclean. But if you have your Bible, look back there to verse 11 of this same chapter, Matthew 15 and verse 11. And when we look back to there, we read the words of Jesus. Jesus said, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. In other words, if we eat something unclean, put it in your mouth, we eat something unclean, the body has God-given power to remove it. But what comes out of our mouths reflects who we really are. And the stark truth is this, that no bodily function can remove sin from our lives. So if external things like dirty hands do not defile a person, then just perhaps as Jesus was going to this region of Tyre and Sidon, this area that was now populated with Gentiles, perhaps there were actually those there who were actually clean. And it's against that backdrop that we meet this woman who faced three tests and was in the end described by Jesus as a woman of great faith. The first test this woman faced was a test of the sincerity of her desire. As I said, Jesus had traveled about 30 miles, and primarily he was traveling to get some rest away from all the frenetic activity in Galilee. Yet even in this out-of-the-way place, Jesus could find no peace. We read here of a Canaanite woman immediately appearing on the scene, and verse 22 tells us she was crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Every word from this distraught mother counts as we try to understand her deep need and her appeal to the Lord Jesus. Firstly, we must grasp that she is a Canaanite who's living in a pagan land. For centuries, the Canaanites were enemies of Israel. However, this woman seems to know about Jesus and his power, and so without any reservation, she approaches the Lord Jesus for help. And in our English translated Bibles, we could almost miss her sincerity because verse 22 simply says she was crying out. However, the Greek verb translated crying out is in the imperfect tense, which suggests she does this continually or repeatedly. And that's further highlighted in verse 23 when the disciples urge Jesus to send her away. Why? Because she kept crying out. Just wasn't a one-off thing. She was continually crying out to Jesus. This mother was in deep anguish, and so she demonstrated the sincerity of her desire by continually crying out for mercy. But why? Why was she continually crying out to Jesus? What was the problem? Well, verse 22 makes it abundantly clear. Her daughter was demon-possessed. This was an immense spiritual problem, and she was bringing it directly to the Lord Jesus. And as I prayed over this and as I prepared it, I believe this brings a great challenge to every grandparent, parent, uncle, aunt. We who are older have a great influence on those who are younger. And I've listened to many of my generation and older who are concerned about the education and the health of their grandchildren, children, nieces or nephews, and rightly so. We're concerned about how they're doing in life. We're concerned about their education. We're concerned about the career path they may choose. We're concerned about their standing within society. We're concerned about their achievements of one kind or another, and we're pleased when they do well. But let me ask you tonight a real deep soul-searching question. Are you really concerned for the souls of your own kith and kin? When was the last time when you cried, and I mean physically shed tears, because of the plight of those within your own family circle? You see, this Canaanite woman, she continually cried to the Lord for mercy. She showed the sincerity of her desire and that she wasn't willing to give up. And isn't that a real challenge to us tonight? May we demonstrate the sincerity of our desire by bringing our loved ones before God in the place of prayer. Continually. Not just now and again, but continually laying them before the throne of grace. But how did Jesus respond to this woman who was continually crying out for mercy? Well, it's interesting. Look at verse 23, because it tells us that initially Jesus did not answer a word. Can you imagine if you were that lady? Your heart is breaking, and here you are with all the energy that you have. You're coming and you're crying out to the one person who you believe is able to help. And his response is just a stony silence. There is no response here from Jesus. And maybe that's exactly how you feel about a situation that you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. But maybe you've been praying and praying and praying, and you've been pleading, and yes, perhaps there have been those physical tears. And yet, despite it all, there seems to be no change. And it almost appears as the heavens are like brass. There has been no change. And you cannot, for the life of you, work it out. And if that's how you're feeling tonight, maybe you've come through those doors discouraged tonight. Because of this very reason, you've been praying and praying and you see no change and you kind of think, well, what's the point of it? Let me encourage you, brother or sister, to keep on praying. Keep on being sincere in your desire. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, we read these wonderful words, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Oh, what a tremendous and thrilling promise from God. If you truly, truly delight yourself in the Lord, it says he will. Not he might or he maybe, but he will give you the desires of your heart. Will you claim this promise tonight? Maybe you've been resting. Maybe you've been indeed in that place of angst, bringing the matter before God and feeling discouraged. Will you claim this promise? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So there's the first test for this Canaanite woman. Was she sincere in her desire? I think the answer must be absolutely. So having passed the first test, the test of sincerity of her desire, she then faces a second test. And I would say that's the test of the strength of her desire. Yes, her desire was sincere, but was it strong enough? Well, let's find out. Yes, initially Jesus said nothing. But then in verse 24, Jesus deliberately ignores the mother's request, and instead he speaks to his disciples. And he says these words that almost seem strange. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And on the face of it, things were going from bad to worse. Initially, Jesus was saying nothing. He was having nothing at all to say to this woman. But now it appears he's totally rebuffing her request. Although non-Israelites were to be blessed and favored by Jesus, and although the final commission to the church was that she should go into all the world, it was true that Jesus was sent to Israel to live and preach among those people to whom God had committed his law and covenant from the beginning. God chose Israel as a sort of nursery or as a greenhouse for the nurture of true faith. Israel was a school for faith, and God taught Israel his nature and his will. God established institutions such as his temple for worship and established offices such as prophet, priest, and king and judge. Through the Lord Jesus, those offices reached their perfection. Jesus is the perfect king. And he offered the safety and prosperity that other kings failed to deliver. As the perfect priest, Jesus offered the final sacrifice for sin. As the final prophet, the Lord Jesus gave Israel a vision of a better future and began to bring that future. And as the perfect judge, one day he will judge all of mankind. And those who have known cleansing of their sin through Jesus, we can look forward to that day when we will spend all eternity with Jesus forever in that glorious place called heaven. But yet I need to be faithful to God's word, and I need to remind you that those who die rejecting Christ as their Savior, they will be found guilty by the perfect judge. They will be cast out of his presence forever. They will face that terrible wrath of a holy God and will spend all eternity in that awful place called hell. Tell me tonight, tell me if you as an individual were called upon to stand before the perfect judge, not stand before me or a Kirk session or anything like that, but to stand before a perfect judge who would know your heart. Would it be heaven or would it be hell? I remind you that salvation is only found in Jesus. And so I urge you to seek the Lord while he may be found. But going back to verse 24, we have to say that Jesus was right when he declared that he was sent to Israel and that Israel was his prime audience. Jesus spent almost his entire ministry within the borders of ancient Israel, serving God's people. And so when Jesus said that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, it correctly described that phase of his ministry. And he was completely focused on the task at hand. But again, I ask you tonight, to try just for a moment to put yourself into the shoes of that desperate woman, that desperate mother. How would you feel at this point? You had cried out to Jesus for help, and initially there was a silence. And then there has come this rebuff to your request. How would you feel? Would you have been angry with Jesus? Would you have stormed off in a rage and said, well, if that's how you think about it, I'm away? Would you have challenged him about what he said? I don't know how I or you would have reacted. This was surely a massive challenge for this desperate mother. And there's no doubt it tested her resolve. It was a real test of the strength of her desire. Yes, we have already said she was sincere, but was she strong? Or would she buckle under the pressure? Her daughter was in need, and she knew that Jesus had the power to help, and deep down she believed he would help. And so with great tenacity, she persevered. Her quest was that her daughter would be healed. She wasn't going to give up or throw in the towel, but rather she persevered believing that Jesus would help her. Well, this was a test of the strength of her desire. And so we ask, did she pass this test? Was she strong? We would have to say absolutely. Because she persevered. And in our day and generation, perseverance is something that we're not really used to. Our world is used to one of instant answers. A text message, a WhatsApp message, an email is sent, and what do we expect? Well, we expect almost an instant reply. And maybe if we don't get that instant reply, we're almost annoyed with that person. even though we have no idea what they're going through or the demands that they are under. Sadly, I think many have carried that into how they think God ought to respond to their prayers. They pray and expect an immediate answer. And when they don't get that immediate answer and that answer that they are wanting, they get frustrated with God. They stop praying. Is that true of someone here tonight? Oh, you used to pray. You used to persevere in the place of prayer. You used to spend time in prayer, but somehow things just aren't like that anymore. You've become weary. Instead of persevering on with God, you've kind of just grown cold with it all. May we be like this Canaanite woman. May we keep persevering. Let's not give up calling out to our great and glorious God. Three tests, I said. Well, test one was a test of the sincerity of her desire, and she passed it. Test two, that was the test of the strength of her desire, and she passed it. And that brings us to the third and final test. That was the test of her own integrity. You see, initially Jesus didn't speak a word, and then he rebuffed this woman's request. But despite all of that, we read how this desperate mother reacts in verse 25. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Almost picture her. She's down on her knees. She's begging for help. And Jesus again restates the situation between Jew and Gentile. Verse 26, look what Jesus says. He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Two different Greek words are used in the New Testament for dogs. One refers to the mangy, old, vicious mongrel that ran in packs and lived largely off rubbish and carcasses of dead animals. The dogs referred to here, however, were household pets that were some night treated like part of the family. And well, dog owners like Pamela and Al will appreciate that clarity. But even so, Jesus' remarks were far from a compliment. The woman knew that the children's referred to the Jews, and the dogs referred to Gentiles, because both figures were commonly used by the Jews. And Jesus' words sounded like the insults that Jews frequently cast at Gentiles. And it's most likely this woman had heard those harsh words many times. What's going on here? What's happening as Jesus spoke with this woman? Well, I believe this was the third test, and the mother's own integrity was being tested to the very limit. What would she do? What would she say? Well, remarkably, she picked up on Jesus' own illustration. And we read her response in verse 27. "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This woman knew that she was sinful. This woman knew that she was unworthy of anything that Jesus had to offer. And in great humility, she was willing to concede that she was less deserving than Jews and accepted, "Well, I'm only a dog." And then bowing before Jesus and then speaking in this way, this woman demonstrated a complete absence of the pride, self-reliance, and self-righteousness that characterized most Jews. With great humility, this desperate mother was willing to settle for the crumbs which fell from the master's table because she knew those crumbs would be enough to meet her needs. All that she wanted from Jesus was a tiny leftover of Jesus' great power so that her precious daughter could be healed. Oh, what integrity. She wasn't there that day looking something for herself. What am I going to get out of this? She wasn't wondering about anything like that. She was completely satisfied that day with just some of the crumbs that would fall from the master's table, just some of the leftovers, so long as her daughter would be healed. And again, I believe this strikes a challenge to all who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And if you face the test of integrity, would you pass it? Do you really attend this meeting house or Brookside or First to worship God? Is that your priority as you come through the doors week by week? Is it that you're there to worship God? Or is it more of a case to be seen because you know that's the right thing to do? Do you come here or do you go there to see what you can get out of it? And if you don't get your needs met, well, sure, I'll go somewhere else. As followers of Jesus Christ, we ought to be people of the utmost integrity. Not treating our faith as a game or something that we can opt in of or out of, depending what mood we're in. We ought to be here to worship Him and Him alone. This desperate woman, this desperate mother, was subjected to a threefold test. And surely we would have to say that at each point she passed with flying colors. After putting up a barrier of silence and then a double barrier of seeming rejection, Jesus heard what he wanted to hear. And so in verse 28, we read his wonderful declaration. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And what was the result? Her daughter was healed from that very hour. C.H. Spurgeon, that great preacher, commenting on this, he says, "The Lord of glory surrendered to the faith of the woman." The Lord of glory surrendered to the faith of the woman. As I stand in this pulpit this evening, in the days, weeks, months, or years ahead, you and I will most likely face more tests of one kind or another. I don't know what tests I will face or you will face, but I do know that even as we've been reminding ourselves tonight, we have a faithful God. The choir were reminding us of that. Great is thy faithfulness. And I know that when those times of testing comes, he promises to be with us. He promises to bring us through. And so I say to you as I conclude tonight, in those moments of testing, may we be like this desperate mother, and may we demonstrate a great faith in our great God. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture which surely has challenged our hearts tonight, a passage of Scripture that has reminded us of the need of having that deep faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you forgive us at times when we allow ourselves to be manipulated just by how we feel? And help us, Lord, to trust in you whatever might come our way. We thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you are one who sticks closer even than an earthly brother. And we pray that day by day, as we live out our lives, may we be encouraged that you are the God even of the impossible. So, Lord, would you encourage each of your children tonight? Would you strengthen them in their resolve to keep pressing on, even in the place of prayer, and help them and encourage them in the week which will lie ahead. And then we would pray, Father, for any who are still strangers to you, who still have not closed in with your offer of grace and mercy, who still don't know what it means to have that living faith. Lord, may they even come to you tonight. May they know that rest within, that rest because they've surrendered their all to Jesus. May they leave here tonight fully assured that it is well with their soul. Grant it, Lord, we pray, for we pray all this in our Savior's great and glorious name. Amen.